Ephesians chapter 5. Parents instruct their children, and they do it in love because they are their children. We're not to instruct other people's children, and because we want them to be ours. I don't instruct my children because I want them to be my children. They are my children, so I give them instruction. And me, you and I need instruction. And if we aren't taught some things, we don't know them. We don't know them. There's a time when someone had to tell us to show up on time, dress appropriately, don't speak while others are talking, get ready for work. You got to prepare yourself before you go to a job site. You got to prepare yourself before you have fun. If you want to go to the beach, you don't wear a parka. You got to get ready before you go there. Someone has to tell us we need to get ready before we come to worship, before we come to service. Prepare our hearts and minds. Be in the right place, right time, and right uniform with the right attitude is what I was always told. I hope this morning we'll see just a worldly instruction that'll be helpful for all mankind. And it's a shame, but in our generation, as many generations before us, it needs to publicly be said that there is a difference between right and wrong. Some things are wrong. Everybody needs to hear that. I hope we can see the light that the child of God has been instructed to walk in, to walk as believers in this world, as our walk. And then I hope we can see the spiritual meaning of these things, and that'll stir up our pure minds. We'll kind of crawl, walk, and run on this one. But I hope we can, the Lord will show us these things. These things need to be addressed in our society, and in days of old, and in this time. It says this doesn't need to be addressed in mixed company. You don't need to have, you need to have the women separate and the men separate and address these things individually, or the children and the adults. Now, the Lord addresses every one of us in His Word, and I think that'll be just fine for us. Paul writes here in Ephesians 5, verse 1, "Be ye therefore followers of God, imitators of God, as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us and hath given Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." There's our motivation. He's laid that groundwork. The Lord has saved His people. And to imitate God. And in verse 3, "But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." He bookends this instruction with that Christ has given Himself for us. He has forgiven our sins. He has saved a people. And He's speaking to that people. And He gives us instruction. And at the end of that instruction, just so we don't get to look into that, so we don't get wrapped up in that, we learn of Christ and then go off another way, He reminds us once again, the Lord's made you children of light. Walk as children of light. Don't forget that. The Lord spoke to Malachi and He said, "But unto you that fear my name shall the Son," the S-U-N, capital S-U-N, "the Son of righteousness arise with healing in His wings." And just as that moon, it reflects light of the sun in darkness. We have at nighttime. The body of Christ, His church, His saints, His people, they reflect the light of Christ in this dark world as we walk through it. And first, I want to look at the practical application of this. We all need to hear it. Everybody in this county needs to hear this. Everybody in this nation and this world needs to hear this. And then we'll look at the spiritual. But if we get the spiritual, if the Lord gives us eyes to see, ears to hear, and to know Him, if we understand that, if He opens our heart, we'll be convicted of the practical. He will do that. I don't need to whip you into doing that. He'll correct His children. I'll tell you about it, but He'll do the correcting. If we only observe the practical, if we just look at that and we just dive deep into the practical, it won't profit us eternally. You'll have a little bit easier walk in this life. In this world, it'll help you, but it won't profit us eternally. The Lord has to apply this to our hearts. Now, verse 3 here, Paul addresses the sensual sin. This is the deed, act in the body. It says, verse 3, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not once be named among you as becometh saints. I want us to learn what these words mean. So easy to read through them and say, oh, that's bad stuff. Go on to the next thing. Fornication there means to an intimate relationship outside of the covenant of marriage. That's against God's law. It's shameful, but widely accepted in this world, and it should not be. That's to be outside of a marriage covenant. That was common to those Gentiles that Paul's writing to, that Paul preached to all the time. It's common in our day. It's widely accepted. It's fine. It's just so easy. Well, that's the way it is nowadays. The word's fornication. It's to be outside that covenant of marriage, and it will bring problems. Worldly, it'll bring problems. And he says they're all uncleanness. That refers to adultery. You're in a marriage covenant. You're imitating a god, someone they think is God, and then you break that. You go outside of that covenant. You acknowledge there's a framework there, but you leave it. That also goes for homosexuality. That's imitating a false god. It's not how the Lord laid this down for us. This is the example he given us in the garden and from then on. And a picture of Christ in his church. This is an abomination to him. People say, you shouldn't preach against those things. It just happens. We've grown past that. You know what the word also means? Incest. Is that still bad? Is that still something we can say something negative about? For how long? What's going to be 2 or 3 generations from now? Just need to be said. It says fornication, that's inside a covenant, or outside of a covenant. Uncleanness, that's with the ruse. Acting like there's a covenant there. And then covetousness. And we know covetousness is like, boy, I like that car. I wish I had a house like that. I wish I had shoes like that. Like, that doesn't fit, does it? That doesn't fit. No, it does. In the context of what the apostle's telling us here, this is a strong desire to please oneself. Not just for things, but in the body. In the body. A desire to live as those that fornicate. I wish I didn't have these rules and all these covenants and these pictures and stuff. I wish I could just do what I wanted to. That's to covet those that commit unclean acts. The fornication and adultery. Not that they do it. Not that they do it, but they have a desire to do it. They have a desire to do it. That's wrong. It's wrong, and it'll bring problems in this world, same as the other ones will. Unbelievers and children of God alike, to all mankind, if you're doing these things, stop it. It's not profitable to you, and it's an offense to God. But speaking to the saints, he said, do not let this be named among you. Don't even let it be an accusation among you. Don't even let the hint of it come out. Somebody might accuse you of it. As becometh saints, as children of God. He says, as becometh saints. Who's the saints? What's the saints? So easily, I say all the time, believers. Believers. Rarely do I use the word Christian, because that's been so mutilated and abused, and it's all but blasphemous now in our society. People don't understand what that means. But saints. I only use that when I'm writing a letter. Tell the saints there we said hello. You know, in the scriptures, twice it uses the word believer. And that's right. 3 times it uses the word Christian. We see there at Antioch in Acts. Over 100 times the Lord uses the word saints. That's his preferred name. What's that mean? Sanctified. Those that have been sanctified. Those that have been set apart. Those that have been made holy unto God, as becometh saints. He set them apart. That's something that already happened. Down the road, we'll probably go start looking at the temple. But the Lord set apart a lot of things in that tabernacle. He set apart the candlestick. He set apart the oil that he used to anoint everything that he set apart. He set apart that table for showbread. And God says, these are mine. They are to be used in my service because they're mine. Because I said they're mine. Because I sanctified them, I set them apart. They're to be used in my service. You're not to take that candlestick and go use it to light a midnight drunken party, like Nebuchadnezzar's boys. You're not to take that table of showbread and go play Monopoly on it. That's the Lord's. Don't touch it. For His saints, those that He's set apart, those that He's anointed, the Holy Ghost, He's come to. You're set apart. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. You're bought with a price, and you've been eternally separated as a vessel of honor to Almighty God. You're to be used for His service, and in the light of the grace and mercy shown to us, to understand the cost that we were bought with. Understand that a little bit. What a reasonable service it is to present our bodies a living sacrifice, as Paul just told us. That's reasonable, isn't it? Why would we do such a thing? As we walk in this world honoring our God, the one who saved us, the Lord of our salvation, this world may look at us and say, why do you live like that? Everybody else is doing it. You say, well, I'm not my own. I've been bought with a price. The Lord told me not to. I want to honor Him. That offends the Lord. He loved me before time, and I'm a willing bondservant of His. Willing servant of love, and I ought to, out of an act of love, an act of honor, and praise towards Him, walk this way. Walk as children of light. How does one become a saint? How does this happen? Turn over to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. Throughout the Scriptures, we just see it over and over. The Lord convicts His people of sin. The Holy Ghost convicts His chosen vessels of sin. What we are. Convicts us of righteousness. Who Christ is. That He is righteousness. The Lord our righteousness. And convicts us of judgment. We deserved and earned judgment. That's the wages of our sin. It's death. And Christ satisfied that judgment. He died for His people. There in Hebrews 2, verse 10. For it became Him, became Christ, for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. For Him to call His people to glory, to be made like Him, He must suffer. Verse 11. For both He that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. The one who does the sanctifying, the making holy, the setting apart. And us, the vessels that have been sanctified, have been set apart, made holy. We're one. We're joint heirs with Christ. We're made one with Him. For which cause He is not ashamed to call them brethren. Saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. The Holy Ghost will come to us and declare the name of the Lord to us. Where is He going to do that? In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. That's what David had told us in Psalm 22. God's going to come to me and the clouds are going to open up. The light shone down from heaven. I was by myself out in the woods hunting. I was deer hunting. No. In the midst of His church, singing praises to Him, telling the truth about Christ and man, that's where He's going to speak to His people. That's where He's going to set us apart. Show us we have been set apart. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 10. Once He does this, then we're on our own and we've got to make ourselves more holy. No. Where could a man get that? Hebrews 10, verse 14. Well, yeah, we'll start verse 14. For by one offering He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. You need to be perfect. God says His people are. Right now. I don't feel perfect. This old man isn't. But this new man in the eyes of God right now is holy. I don't fully understand what that means. We have an idea what holiness is. Right now in the eyes of God, you are holy. Perfect. He has perfected it. We didn't do it ourselves. Verse 15. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. That law of grace, that covenant of grace, the Holy Spirit comes to His people, putting Christ before time, and He reveals that law in us. He writes it in our hearts, convinces us of that, convicts us of it, what He's done for His people. And He says, I remember your sins no more. Reveals our sin to us. Shows us that's all I am. I'm nothing but sin. I'm a noun, I'm not a verb. I'm a noun. And He said, you know what you are? I remember it no more. Here's the law of grace, law of Christ, law of love He puts in our hearts. That's how we're made saints. He reveals Christ in us. He put Him there, and then He shows us, tells us about it. Holy Ghost tells us about it. Listen to me. Avoiding fornication, avoiding uncleanness, and avoiding covetousness does not make you a saint and does not make you more sainty. It doesn't make you more holy. Because you are saints. Therefore, avoid these things in this world. The love of Christ constrained His people because He's loved us. Now back to our text. That's in the body. Paul addresses the body first. Now He's going to address our tongues. What we say with our mouths. Ephesians 5 verse 4. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Filthiness. Profanity. Cuss words. And that's against man and against God. Filth. Turn on the TV. Look, I'm shocked by that. The profanity that's in commercials nowadays. You find a good show that the children, young person could watch and say, well, this show's okay. There ain't nothing too bad in it. And then a commercial comes on. It's worse than whatever that thing was rated. So commonplace. Well, that's the way the world is now. It's accepted. Filthiness. I struggled so much with this. There's a few sailors in the congregation. And in the military, they don't just allow profanity, they encourage it. And that's just a sure sign in this world of a lesser vocabulary and someone that can't control their emotions. That's what it shows. Worldly. Just walking in this world, you who have no cares for God, you young people, control your words and it'll profit you. Children of God, and I'm talking to myself, watch your tongues and remember who you are and whose you are. Who we represent in this world. It says our foolish talking. That's tomfoolery and silliness. That's exaggerating and gossip. We ever embellished anything? We ever saw something on the news and then went to somebody else and said, well, I mean, this is going to happen. Oh, really? Is that what the news? Well, no, I mean, you know, that's what they're getting at. Foolish talking. Gossip. Did you hear what so-and-so did? Either in this world with celebrities and everything else, or did you see what sister so-and-so, did you hear about that? I kind of heard something. Do you know anything about that? Foolishness. Looking away from Christ is foolishness. Foolish talking. Play a telephone game. Somebody starts on this end and says something, and you go around 20, 30 people, and it's way off topic, isn't it? That's all we are. We should speak plainly of what we know and what we understand. And for the believer, don't gossip about other believers. Cover their sin. You walk in backwards and cover their sin up. Don't speak of it. The Lord has received them, as we saw the other night. He put their sin away. Why would I dig it back up? It's blotted out and I'm trying to erase it so we can see it better. Don't entertain a single witness. And it says they're nor jesting. Does that mean you can't ever tell a joke or be jolly, be jovial? No. But in a workplace, a good time Charlie, that's good time all the time, ain't a good employee. We know that. Don't be cutting up all the time. But for the believer, never make light of the God of our salvation, of His Christ, of His gospel, that we've been allowed to have this light shown on us. Don't make fun of His people. We are to honor God, fear our God, and respect His children. What should we do? It says, but rather giving thanks. Put all that stuff aside and be thankful. Be thankful for what the Lord has given you. I find it hard to be thankful sometimes. Isn't that a shame? Just in this world alone. I know back in after World War II, it was a prideful thing, a good thing to have a roof over somebody's head and feed your children. Well, you was getting something done. That's good. And now it's on to all kinds of nonsense. But just to be thankful. The Lord's kept us today. Worldly, but spiritually. Oh, to you who know the mercy of God. You know what you are, what you deserve, the wage that you earned. Oh, be thankful. That is convenient. You know what that word convenient means? It's accessible and it's useful. You want to give thanks? Go to the Lord. He's accessible. We can come to His throne of mercy. And boy, is it useful. That's good for us. Now in verse 5 it says, Ephesians 5:5, For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you. Don't be fooled. God's going to punish sin. To the unbeliever, they need to know this. Those who have no interest in the gospel, the Lord will punish sin. And the person who only looks to please themselves, in the body and in the tongue, their inheritance, what they're looking for, it's not the kingdom of Christ. It's not the kingdom of God. They have no interest in it. It doesn't concern them. They're only concerned about things of this world. Lord will punish that. But to the believer, let no man fool you. Can you lose your inheritance? Is there any one of us that aren't guilty of any of these things? Or guilty of all of them? Does that mean I could lose my inheritance? Let no man deceive you. True faith in Christ will not be taken away when the Lord gives it. His gift of faith does not perish. His gifts are without repentance. That bothers me deeply. There's some people in this state that's saying, well, if the Lord gives you faith, you better nurture it or it'll go away. You better do something to keep it. The Lord grows His children. He gives them faith. He sustains their faith. And none shall be removed from His hand. With man's deceiving words, sometimes they go the opposite way. And they say, it doesn't matter how a child of God lives in this world. I've been accused of that a lot. I was trying to say that the other night. I was talking to Brother Cass after. It was on the tip of my tongue. I've been called antinomian a lot. I couldn't think of it. But that's the way Kevin says, you can just live however you want to. He says it doesn't matter. If you are the Lord's child and you are willfully disobedient and you're His, your loving Father will correct His child. Same as somebody in this world would. You love Him. You're my child. I'm going to correct you. And He'll correct. It says, let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. What did Paul tell us in Romans? Be not conformed to this world. You see that. The Lord's given you light to see the difference. Don't be partakers with them. Because you were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Now, if I were teaching in the carnal realm, if I had some type of teaching you HVAC or something, I'd have you bobbing your heads north and south. I'd get you riled up good, prime the pump, and say, oh yeah, homosexuality's bad, and we'd all be doing north-south. And then I'd hit you with the lesson I wanted to teach. But we don't use tactics, do we? We just tell you what the Lord says. I want you to see the spiritual application of this. We know what these things mean in the flesh. Every adult ought to know what all these things are, not to do them. We know it's better than that. The Lord's wrote that in our hearts. But spiritually, what are these? Turn over to Hebrews chapter 12. Spiritual fornication is to ignore the covenant of God. And this is much, much more dangerous than physical fornication. Much more dangerous. The fool has said in his heart, no God. It's foolish. It's dangerous. It says in Hebrews 12, verse 14, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau." What did he do? What was Esau's fornication? "Who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright." What was his birthright? The Lord sanctified him earthly as the firstborn child. He said, "All the firstborn are mine." And Esau said, "I'm hungry. I don't care what the Lord says. I want a bowl of beans." Verse 17, "For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place for repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears." Do not ignore the Lord. You that are in sin against him, you that have ignored his covenants in the past and said there is no God, come begging for mercy. Come begging for mercy. Come to him while he may be found. Some look to Christ the door, and they can tell you about the hinges. They can tell you the shape of the door. They can say, "Well, there's six panels on that door." Tell you a lot about it. But they have not entered into the door. Christ is ignored. The covenant of grace is just an idea. It's not a person. It's just a doctrine, not a person. It's fornication. The attitudes, take it or leave it. Just give me a bowl of beans. Just satisfy my flesh. And oh, the tears that will be shed in judgment. And he tells us about uncleanness. Turn to Matthew 23. Uncleanness is to pretend to know or imitate the covenant of God, but without knowledge. That's a covenant of works. You got to do something. God made a covenant with people, and you got to keep it. You got to do it. You got to shine it up better than he did it. The covenant of works. Some say, "I know God, I'm walking worthy, I'm living a holy life," but it's without knowledge. They say, don't smoke, drink, or chew, nor run with those that do. It's without knowledge, without being born again, still looking to the outside of the cup and not what's needed for our souls. Crying, "Peace, peace, where there is no peace." That's what that is. False imitators of God. Matthew 23, verse 27. It says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward." You've cleaned up the outside, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. You're crying, "Peace, peace, where there is no peace." You say, "Oh, God's a covenant God," but you don't know him and you don't know what his covenant is. Verse 28, "Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within are full of hypocrisies and iniquity," all uncleanness. The Lord gave us a covenant of grace and his love wherewith he loved us. Gave us his Son to be a propitiation for us, to come and stand in our place and shed his blood for us while we were enemies against him. That's his covenant. And to say anything contrary to that is just painting the outside of that tomb, that sepulcher, trying to clean up the outside. And then covetousness, to look on these things and say, "Boy, they sure got it good." You ever drive through this county and just see, that one church up here on the hill, when we first got here, I was telling Brother Greg after the other day, I thought it was a Costco. And I thought, "All right, boy, that's close to the house." It ain't a Costco. You're better off going to Costco. And I thought, "Boy, wouldn't that be something just to have a little bit bigger place to meet and have a little more freedom to do stuff, bigger parking lot or whatever." Boy, they got it easy. And they just happy and... You don't do that, do you? You've never done that. No other believer. That's just me, isn't it? David experienced this. Turn over to Psalm 73. David experienced everything that Paul's telling us here in Ephesians 5. He shows it. That's almost like the counsel of God's in the New Testament and the Old Testament. That's like he doesn't change. This is the same message, the same person throughout from Genesis. When God said, I hope someday we get there, but... "In the beginning, God." The Lord came and said, let there be light. That's a story of salvation. And there was light. What does it come to us children of darkness? Let there be light. Boy, and there's light in you. Ain't no turning it off either. Psalm 73. David's going to experience every bit of this. Psalm 73, verse 1. I'm sorry, David. Asaph. Many think Asaph wrote for David whenever he put his name on it, but David helped him co-write it, but Asaph wanted to pen this. So, Psalm 73, verse 1. Truly God is good to Israel, even to such are of a clean heart. The Lord is good. God is good, and He is good to His people. He's given us a clean heart. Verse 2. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish, at the one who cries no God, when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. They don't have all the troubles we have. They're not worn with two natures inside of them. Verse 6, therefore pride compassed them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. Loftily. You know what that is? Foolish talking. Foolish talking. Verse 9, they set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. They speak filthiness. Verse 10, therefore his people returneth hither, and waters of a full cup were wrung out to them. And they say, how doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? That's fornication. That's speaking jest, joking about God. Not knowing Him. Not understanding His covenant. Being apart from Him. Verse 12. Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. Here Asaph says, is showing he covets these people that live for their flesh. And in himself, he's asking, have I followed God in vain? On this earth, just only look, not looking to Christ. Looking to what's in front of us and what's around us. Boy, they got it a lot better than I do. What a moment of weakness. What a moment of honesty. For all the day long I have been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. What did he thought to think to know? The love for Christ constrained him. The love for the children of God constrained him. This people. This people he'd bring reproach on. Not to offend them or bring reproach on. That was his desire. When was this corrected in the heart of this believer? What was it? Personal reflection? Was it spiritual exercise that brought him to this? No. He said, verse 17, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood their end. Looking to this world, walking in this world, only being concerned about the things of this world. Boy, the struggle we have. The heartache and questioning we have in ourselves. But when we come to the house of the Lord, we hear of the God who saved us, who's is life to the believer. We understand therein. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou cast them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation as in a moment? They are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream when one awaketh, so, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. Lord, we'll judge sin. Thus my heart was grieved and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I. I was a fool and arrogant. I was as a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with the counsel. And afterwards, after this back and forth, being turned to ourselves and then being turned back to the Lord. Turned to ourselves and then seeing Christ. Looking to something to do and then looking to the one that accomplished everything. He who's completed it. over and over again throughout this life. Thou shalt be my guide and counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Then he sings, whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon the earth that I desire beside thee. That's a person. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a-whoring from thee. All those fornications, all those uncleanliness. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I put my trust in God, the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. Someone that tries to put off fornication, uncleanness, and jesting, and foolish speaking, and clean up outside of that cup, and look what I did. The believer, when they see the love of God for them, when He's turned their heart through the preaching of the gospel to them, He convicts them, comforts them, gives them peace. We don't no longer have a desire to walk as this world walks. But if somebody says, well, you sure quit doing that. You do that different. You know, so I know. It took me a long time. We declare thy works. Declare the works of the one that saved us. I'm back in Ephesians 5, and I'll wrap it up. I won't keep you no longer. Ephesians 5, verse 8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Therefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Someone that wants that understanding of being a child of God, of knowing a person that loved them, the God-man that gave himself for his people. The Lord speaks to him. He says, you sleeping dry bones, you dry, whited, dead bones, awake and rise. And when he speaks to you, you have a desire to awake and to rise and to follow him and be imitators of God. I pray he'll be with us with that. Amen.